the phone line right now, 12th District Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you, and good to be with you all session. It's been great to be on with you.
It has been. It's been very informative, but it felt like it was kind of like everybody was just kind of plodding along, and then like the last few days, everything just went crazy. So let's start with the budgets and kind of the process of getting the budgets through the state legislature and what that was like for the last, particularly over the weekend.
Yeah, so the budgets came together, I guess, as people were hoping they were, at least from a timing standpoint. The operating budget, though, from the House and Senate Democrats did not get released publicly until the very final hours. So they jammed us a bit on that one. But I voted for the transportation budget. I voted for the capital budget. Both of those budgets were largely bipartisan. The transportation budget did not include a new 16-year multi-billion dollar investment element. It was just a straight up continuation of the transportation maintenance for the next 2 years. So I voted for both of those budgets, but I voted against the operating budget. It was a huge budget, a record-breaking $59.2 billion for the next 2 years, a significant increase from the current biennium, and then a lot of other components to that that we could probably talk about. But I voted against the operating budget.
What was that like to go in? What was the Senate room like when you guys were discussing it? I mean, I don't know what you can do at that point, right? I guess when you're given the budget, you know, 24 hours or so ahead of time, and it's 1,100 pages. But I just, what was that kind of? What did you guys try to get accomplished, and what, if anything, do you feel like could come to the 12th District out of this operating budget?
Well, the operating budget funds the day-to-day operations of the state, so about half of it goes to K-12 education. We have a lot of school districts that benefit from that. There's an early learning component to the operating budget, a higher education component. State parks gets funded out of that. So there's obviously a lot of operational benefits to the 12th district because we have a lot of state parks, and there's a small debt service element, a Medicaid match, a long-term disability funding in there. So there's kind of, in these big budgets, you know, there is a lot to like, but the things that I was really concerned about is obviously a significant increase in spending. The state budget has almost doubled just in the 10 or 12 years that I've served in the legislature. This operating budget proposes to spend and fully exhaust our $2 billion rainy day fund that we had a pretty healthy amount going into this session. It also proposes to spend all of the additional revenue that's projected in a much more friendly revenue forecast that was recently received. Even despite the COVID pandemic, state revenues are up, but this budget proposes to spend all that. And in another unnecessary move, they passed a capital gains income tax as part of this budget to fund expanded programs, and they said it was an emergency. So there were just, you know, a lot of reasons that I just could not support this budget. And frankly, if there is a future economic downturn, I just do not believe that this budget will be sustainable for the state of Washington.
And how did the capital gains tax come together in the state Senate?
It came together pretty quickly. You know, what happened is the bill originated in the state Senate. It had what's called an emergency clause in it originally, which says if a bill gets signed by the governor, it will become law immediately rather than the normal 90-day waiting period. And that emergency clause was stripped out in the Senate debate, but it still passed the Senate by one vote. And then when it went over to the House of Representatives, the House of Representatives added it back in, essentially an emergency component. So then it had to come back to the Senate for what we call a concurrence vote, which is one more vote of approval. And there was some shuffling of votes, but it passed the Senate with that provision in it by one vote in the final hours of the legislative session. So now that bill goes to the governor and will be signed by the governor, and there will not be a 90-day waiting period for that bill to go into effect. So effectively what that does is it circumvents the opportunity for citizens to secure signatures through a referendum process, and it eliminates the opportunity for the voters to weigh in statewide on that bill this next election cycle. So the only hope for people who are concerned about this new capital gains income tax is to challenge it in court based on constitutionality with the state Supreme Court. But as I've mentioned maybe with you, and I've shared in some of my communications, I am not optimistic about this particular state Supreme Court, and as tax-friendly as they are, and the previous efforts they made with McCleary decision on education, Hearst decision on water rights, this Blake decision on drug possession. I mean, this court, I think, is eager to approve and uphold this new capital gains income tax. So, but at this point, a court challenge is our only opportunity. And I read just last night on KPQ.com that the first court challenge to that will be in Douglas County. So we'll watch how and see how that plays out.
Will you or the Republicans have any role in that, particularly since it's going to be so close to us here at home?
Yeah, we are actually prohibited from getting involved in court challenges, but I'm sure that we can obviously state our opinion. And we certainly did that throughout the process of the floor debate. You know, the previous courts in our state have long held that income is property, a property must be taxed uniformly, and that's one of the components, I believe, of this court challenge. But like I said, I think that the proponents of the capital gains income tax realized that they had this window of time when they had these expanded majorities in the House and the Senate. Of course, it just passed by one vote in the Senate, so they had just enough expanded majority votes to get this passed, even with some Democrats voting against it. Governor Inslee was eager to sign it. They have a tax-friendly Supreme Court. So I think even though the revenues came in much better than expected, and we really didn't need this capital gains income tax from a revenue standpoint, I think they realized they had to pass this with their window of time. And once, you know, governor signs this, and if the court upholds it, the exemptions will be eliminated over time. The thresholds will be whittled away at to the point where this is a new capital gains or income tax that affects all of us. And it's not a reform, by the way. They didn't remove any of the regressive taxes in our state. They just pancaked on a layering of another tax. So I find it troubling, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the courts ultimately decide. But regardless of what happens in Douglas County, it will likely be appealed to the state Supreme Court.
The session, though, wasn't all doom and gloom. You had a couple of bills that you were the primary sponsor on and got through the legislature, and it looks like they're going to move forward. So I guess in some respects for you, there was some personal satisfaction, I'd imagine, getting these bills across the finish line.
Yeah, I'm thankful both of those bills made it all the way through the electric utility wildfire bill that implements some key recommendations to help electric utilities with their wildfire issues. Chelan PD was very involved in that. And then Douglas PD was very involved in my hydrogen vehicle bill that tried to be technology neutral when it comes to state incentives for zero emission vehicles. And I did secure in the transportation budget a fast charging and hydrogen fueling station for the Wenatchee Valley area. So we'll be able to actually refuel our vehicles and start to transition to potentially hydrogen fueling for the future. And the fast charging element of that station will help us accommodate tourists with their electric vehicles. So there's definitely some positive things that came out of it. The capital budget has a lot of good projects for our state. The governor will be signing two of my bills here soon. But the reality is on a large scale level with the operating budget, the capital gains tax, the carbon climate cap and trade, the low carbon fuel bill, and some of these other things that could really raise gas prices on people throughout central and eastern Washington. You know, we're pretty concerned about that at a large scale level as we look back on the session and how things kind of came together in a troubling way in the final days and hours.
All right, Brad, thank you so much for all your time throughout the session. We'll look forward to hearing you on the agenda throughout the summer, and I know you'll do some stuff with us probably here and there. And, of course, I'm really excited about you on the Don West Show. Whenever that gets to happen, we're going to have that'll be must-listen radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know my politics a little bit better than I know my sports, but hopefully I can hold my own with Don.
Yeah, some might say he doesn't know sports either, but that's just people talking trash. All right, Brad, thanks so much as always, and we'll look forward to talking to you again throughout the offseason, as it were.
Likewise. Thank you both so much.